Hello and welcome to Know It All, the sports podcast where we talk about the craziest and most insane stories in sports. I'm your host and the Know It All, Sam Forrest, and this is my co-host.
I'm Phoenix, and I am the newbie.
All right. Today, I thought we would do a bit of an Olympic special, as just a couple of weeks ago, the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina ended. I don't know how much of that you watched, Phoenix, considering the time difference and considering that sports, of course, aren't your thing.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of it. My brother had it on sometimes, and I caught some of the bobsledding, and the other one where it's the bobsledding where it's just them on the like without the big bobsled.
Oh, the luge or the skeleton?
Exactly. Yeah, those two. Yeah, and I watched some of those, and I watched some downhill skiing, but like I didn't follow any of it. I watched maybe two or three times.
Yeah. That's before we get into that, luge and skeleton are the most insane things ever, right?
Well, coming from a non-sports fan perspective, it's nuts and it's kind of confusing because it seems like the most intense sport you could possibly do, but it also seems like something that would be categorized as like a more of a stunt than a sport.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the guys that I saw had guts. Which is okay. There's nothing wrong with having a gut, but
it's not aerodynamic.
Think, yeah, yeah. Maybe the weight helps, but you'd think, or my thought was, okay, this is the Olympics. These guys don't look like elite athletes, but I guess athletes come in all shapes and sizes, right? So,
yeah. No, I think that is a genuine part of it. You can't be like all skin and bones when you're on a luge or a skeleton because you don't get any traction on the ice, yeah. Right? And like you're going pretty fast, you might just fly off if you're that skinny.
Yeah, and I mean, my thought was how much is this based on technique and practice, and how much of it is just kind of you're going by feel? Like, I was watching that, and I was thinking, like, is this something that I could do?
It's actually really interesting. Something I learned during the Olympics is that for Canada, at least, some of the bobsledders and the lugers and the skeletoners, I guess you would call them, they mentioned that there's a program in Canada where professional athletes who are retiring, maybe usually retiring a bit young from like baseball or hockey or other sports, are entered into some program where they do a bunch of physical fitness testing, and then they get placed in Olympic sports. And pretty much the most common one is bobsled. These guys are all like former athletes who didn't really make it in their intentional sport, and now they're bobsledders, which is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a couple. And I say this with all due respect because I do know that it's a ton of effort, and I'm not saying that anybody could do it. But curling kind of gives me the same idea where it seems like anybody could do it. Not everybody could be good at it. But, you know, I could do curling. Right? I couldn't do the downhill skiing. I couldn't do that. Oh,
right. The entry level to a sport like curling is pretty easy. It's like it's probably pretty easy to do. Really hard to master.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, with that being said, we'll hop on over to some of the stories we have from the Olympics, because in my memory, this has been one of the more controversy-led Olympics that I've ever seen. One of the first things that happened prior to the Olympics was the secondary rink for the hockey games was being built, and it was an absolute disaster. About a month before the games were supposed to start, there weren't any seats in the arena. They had not built anything at all. Wow. And there were issues with the ice size. And
they got the measurements wrong.
They got the measurements wrong, and they had 9 years to build it. They quite literally were doing test games a week before the Olympics were supposed to start, which is, from what I heard, typically something that happens months prior so that they can figure out the ice. But at the end of the day, they got the measurements wrong. They had to stick with it. And for the entirety of the Olympics, the rink was 4 feet short.
Oh, man. So they did end up playing on it.
Mm-hmm. They did, yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't know that they had everything figured out so far in advance. You said they started 9 years ago. Like, was this four?
That is when Milano Cortina, I believe, was announced as the host for the 2026 Olympics.
I had no idea that it was that far in advance. I thought it was more like 4 or 5 years.
No, they typically give you all the time in the world to build the infrastructure you need, but I guess sometimes you just leave it off to the last minute, which I can respect as a university student. Maybe not as a country hosting the Olympics. I feel like there's higher stakes there. But
I feel like the standards should be a little different. Yeah, it should.
I would hope they're held to a higher standard than like me with essays.
Yeah,
I would hope so.
It kind of reminds me, and sorry if I'm jumping topics here, but in the Summer Olympics in Paris, I think it was Paris, right? With the river, like they had all the time in the world to clean the river out.
That's right.
It's a big task, but. I remember there was all that fiasco about, is it safe to swim in? And then people were getting sick, and I wouldn't have gone in that river.
No, me neither. If you're questioning how safe the river is to swim in, I'd probably not want to swim in it.
Yeah. And then as soon as you hear about feces and and all that, then that's a big no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's interesting. I didn't know that they had that much time to prepare. But also that kind of answers my questions because I've always wondered how they're able to build these giant facilities.
A lot of them have them. Some facilities already made. For example, when Canada hosted in 2010, the Winter Olympics, most things, especially the hockey arenas, of course, were already built. They use the ones that the Vancouver Canucks play in. They use another rink, I want to say probably in Abbotsford. And then the rest of the stuff, there were already ski hills that were just repurposed. But for places like Italy, who might not have hockey arenas that are within a reasonable distance of where the Olympic Village is, they had to build some stuff that will be temporary. It very much looks like a temporary rink. It looks like it was going to crumble during the hockey
game. Well, let me ask you this, because this is also something I was wondering. During the events that I did watch, I noticed that because they're the winter sports, and I'm guessing, tend to be more equipment reliant and equipment heavy, I was wondering, how does this work with the Olympic Village? What if there's no bobsledding track in the near vicinity of the next ski jumping hill? Like, did they really build all the facilities and build them as close together? Or is it, and like, how close are these things to the village? Like, are the athletes commuting out a couple hours, or is there multiple villages, or did they really just build all that stuff right there?
Well, I mean, no, that is a good question, but there is a decent commute for a lot of the athletes. So this past Olympics were Milano and Cortina, so both places. The Olympic Village is like kind of the central hub because a lot of these athletes come in, and their event will be on like day three, and then they're done, right? So. They go, they do that, and then they kind of just get to hang out for the rest of the Olympics.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guys that go dead last, and they've got to be all fit and prepped all week, and they probably miss out on all the Olympic parties.
If we want to talk about Olympic parties, I don't know if you heard at all, but the Olympic Village apparently. Ran out of condoms.
Whoa! Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so there's always been a bit of an understanding that the Olympic Village is an active intercourse zone, we'll say,
Well,
PG-wise.
that's, you know what? That's not surprising, though. You know, it's very fit and gorgeous people, right?
And like I said before, a lot of these people already finish their events, or on days where they don't have their events, they don't really have much to do. One of the Italian organizing committee said in a statement, "We can confirm that the condom supplies in the Olympic villages were temporarily depleted due to a higher than anticipated demand."
Do we know how many condoms there were?
We do. I or sorry, this what I'm looking at here is for this. So for the 2024 Paris Games, there were 10,500 athletes. They provided 300,000 condoms. It's so, but I believe in Paris they didn't run out. But the numbers here, which they did run out of, if you do the math, it's really interesting. There's 2,800 athletes that were at the Winter Olympic Games this year.
Okay.
And this the Olympic Committee spokesman said, "I think 10,000 have been used."
Jesus.
That is over three condoms per athlete.
3.5. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I don't judge people. Hey, safe sex is better than not safe sex.
Yeah, but I mean, think of the incredible athlete babysit that people
Oh
could be
my
having
God.
here.
I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think anybody should be upset about that. You've got the next generation being built. It's like a factory.
I mean, and clearly, I mean, if you're Italy, think about it. Maybe you don't provide these condoms, and then people come back and say, "Well, my baby was conceived in Italy. It'll be born in Italy." Boom, new generation of
Yeah.
fantastic Italian athletes.
Yeah.
If you can
Hey.
change, your laws and give citizenship to any baby conceived in Italy. Boom, they're winning
Yeah.
every event for the rest of time.
I mean, hell, if the Olympic Committee was really interested in getting more athletes, they would poke a couple holes in those condoms or
There you
make it a
go.
thinner
Mountain State
material
style.
or just don't hand them out at all. Oh, sorry, we forgot.
Oh, so sorry. What are you
Oh,
gonna
well.
do? Not have sex?
Yeah, I mean, does this, let me ask you this. Does it happen often that there will be an athlete at the Olympics and the commentators will be like, oh, this is the son of former Olympic athlete, you
Oh
know? Does that
yes,
ever happen?
all the time, all the time. Very common.
Well,
Yeah.
there you go.
Yeah. If there's a weird amount of stuff to do with penises sex in these stories from the Olympics. One of my personal favorites is a Norwegian biathlete. I'm gonna butcher his name, so I apologize. Sturla Holm Lagreid. We'll go with that.
Okay.
You're German. Is that, I mean, that you're closer to Norway in
Oh, my
language than
God.
I am. Did that sound right? I mean, I know you
No,
can't
I have
see it
no clue.
written out, but
I don't think they speak German there.
the
Or even
language is closer than English, and the country's close. Help me out, man.
don't
Just
know.
say, just say,
We'll
just
just
say
say,
yes, you did a perfect job.
buddy, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Thank you.
Let's
Great.
continue.
So this Sturla, we'll go with. Won the bronze medal in the men's 20-kilometer biathlon. It's his first Olympic medal, and after he won, he was interviewed, and during that interview, he publicly admitted that he had cheated on his girlfriend 3 months earlier and called it his biggest mistake.
Okay, airing out his business to the world, huh?
Yeah, on international, really, television. He teary-eyed and shaky-voiced
Wow.
admitted to the entire world that he had cheated on his girlfriend after winning the
Was
bronze medal.
this something that the girlfriend was finding out through this announcement, or was he just airing out his business?
Now that I'm not 100% sure of, but it, from what I've seen, it looks like there's a very decent chance that this was an admission to everyone, including his partner.
Wow, time and a place, eh?
Yeah, she his partner has chosen to remain anonymous, as a Norwegian paper found out, but she did give a quote saying it was hard to forgive what he did, which is fair. My big question is, do you think it would have gone over a little bit better had he won silver or gold?
He got bronze and he did that?
He got bronze. Oh, yeah, he didn't even. Yeah, it was bronze.
Oh, my God. Well, he better hope that the gold medalist did something way worse. Like, that's okay if the gold medalist admits that he just murdered somebody. But otherwise,
actually,
I mean,
that would actually, you want to know something interesting is that if I remember correctly, the gold medalist in this race had a fellow biathlete who unfortunately passed away little while before the Olympics, and this athlete who won the gold said he wouldn't compete until the Olympics in honor of his friend. There's every chance I'm making this up, but I do remember hearing something about this. I know it happened, and I'm fairly certain that it was the gold medalist in this race. So he won the gold, and what probably should have been the most a really heartwarming and nice story to broadcast to the masses was kind of overshadowed by a Norwegian affair. And he didn't even win gold. He won bronze.
I think I think the embarrassment there lies fully upon the guy who admitted to cheating.
Oh, 100%.
Could you imagine that? He must have done it out of like a moment of panic or something. Because like, what would compel you to say that on a world stage? And then you're not even in the spotlight. You're just the shadow. And then the spotlight guy is like, yeah, I did this. This guy did this to admit he cheated, but I did this for my dead friend. And
like, yeah,
that's embarrassing.
It's,
you know?
It's a little, I wouldn't air that out on the Olympic stage personally.
See, I thought you were going to say that this guy's teammate had passed on earlier and that the gold medalist admitted to killing him. That would be worthy.
That would have been, I'm so sorry, cool. But that was, it wasn't as cool as that. I wish it was. We are running a little bit low on time, and there's one story that I really, really want to get to, because when I say the word to you, penis gate, what does that make you think of in the context of the Olympics? And I guarantee you will not get it right.
Well, the first thing that makes me think of is the fellow in the Summer Olympics who lost his chance at the pole jump because his Johnson interfered.
That is, that's a great... The thing I love about the Olympics is that there are so many moments that transcend just the average sports fan. Like,
I mean, you can see clearly moments. I've seen some things, but it's
really if you remember that video, you saw a lot. There's a lot to see in that video.
Enlighten me.
This is why they gotta bring so many condoms to the Olympic Village, because there's pole vaulters there sometimes, man. What can I say? penis gate. I'll give it to you in small bits. The sport that it surrounds is ski jumping. Does that make things any clearer? Because it shouldn't.
Penis gate. So the
gate is a form of cheating, I will say.
Penis gate.
A different kind of penis cheating than the Norwegian.
It's a conspiracy for cheating in ski jumping regarding penises.
Yes. I still haven't given you nearly enough information to get there, but I want to see what you come up with, if anything.
I mean, penis.
I can probably give you what they did to cheat, and it might not make any sense still as to how it would give you any benefit. So the controversy came in the I love this so much. The scandal was that a lot of ski jumpers injected hyaluronic acid into their penis to make it bigger. And again, this is what I'm saying. Even that, can you see how that would even give any marginal gain to these athletes?
No. Literally, then. Yeah. Like, I could imagine.
You would think it might be worse because now you've got more stuff flying through the air, right?
That's right. Yeah. It'll weigh you down.
Do you have any idea where this might be going before I give you the piece that ties it all together?
No. No. I'm like, my mind goes to propeller, but that's not feasible.
My God, I wish. That's the new Olympic sport they need to do.
The old helicopter in the air.
You just, no skis, you just wave it around and you gotta create enough momentum and lift and then slowly lower back down to the ground. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Tell me what does this have to do with this sport?
So there are very strict rules about the sizing of the suits that ski jumpers wear. So you have to have 3D renderings and body measurements so that you can get fitted for a legal suit. Because if there's any extra flap, specifically under the arms or in between the legs, you get a little bit more drag so you can fly further.
Right.
So these athletes are making their members bigger so that they can get an extra bit, and it's only temporarily, right, when they inject it with this enlarging agent. They get a little bit more of that material in between their legs, so they get more drag and more, I'm saying drag, I feel like that's wrong, but we'll say it helps them aerodynamically, and they go further because they have that bit more material.
Okay, so really, I don't want to get too graphic here, but how much are we, like, difference there, right?
The thing with ski jumping is
send me some pictures.
I don't know if I can do that. Pictures of what?
You know, that's not that surprising, unfortunately. But
that's par for the course for you.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a Thursday to me.
Yes. Injecting your penis.
No, my thought was, if I'm looking for areas of my body that I could exacerbate to, like, I would get some surgery to web my fingers a little. You know, just get a little more webbing between the fingers or the toes, or like, you know, stretch my armpits or my lats a little bit more, you know, get some injections there. Or I don't know, like, get your ears done so they're standing out. And,
I feel like that creates stress. I feel like that kind of stops you a little bit, though. Unless you're going crazy and you want to do like a Dumbo style.
Yeah, but the hands, I think you could web your hands pretty well.
You could. I'm sure you could. Well, there's a lot of swimmers who have like slightly webbed hands or feet, and it helps them, right?
Yeah.
That's a natural thing that benefits them. What is not natural is injecting a bunch of hyaluronic acid into your penis to get better at ski jumping.
Any rules surrounding this? Is it being made illegal? Is it?
I think it already was. I'm not entirely sure, and I don't need to know. All right, that's all the time we got. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I've been Sam Forrest.
Yeah, I'm Phoenix. Thank you for listening. And Sam, thank you for having me. I had a good time there.